And our lines are open at 1-850-715-996. You can text 0857-376-969. Now, on a lighter note, because we're having a great competition this week in association with the Irish Daily Mail. They are giving away DVDs of love movies. Yesterday was Terms of Endearment with Shirley MacLaine. Today, it is... very good movie, actually, this one was. It was Shirley Valentine with Pauline Collins and Tom Conti. And that's at your newsagents. When you go and buy an Irish Daily Mail today, you'll get a free DVD. Just ask your newsagent for the free DVD that comes with it and get another one then tomorrow. And we've got a nice competition in association with the Irish Daily Mail. And it is two nights bed and breakfast with dinner on one night for two people at the four-star Bridge House Hotel in Tullamore, County Offaly. And when you come back there, tell me what it's like. I know nothing about Offaly, except in the middle of the country. And I think that our Taoiseach is from there, isn't he? Clara, I think. So, four-star Bridge House Hotel. You need to identify all of these love songs. Don't call just yet. I'll open the phone lines around about 10 to midday. Caller 9, or whomever gets it after that, in the right order, wins the weekend away, courtesy of ourselves in the Irish Daily Mail. Great songs. I always feel like just getting rushing out and playing all of them on the air. I'll play them again a couple of times between now and midday, so hang in there. And we'll come back to it and open the lines at 10 to midday. Turning back to the debacle that sees the demise of Cork City Football Club and the last nail in the coffin of Premiership football being played on Leaside. Quite an amount of statements in front of me. One statement that certainly and clearly lacking is any response from Tom Collin, although he was busy yesterday with solicitors toing and froing with regards to Quintus and Forrest and the group that were hoping to gain a license yesterday, but they found their best exploits yesterday were deeply frustrated by the events of yesterday afternoon. There's terms here in the statement from Peter Gray and Michael Connell and Forrest. Michael O'Connell, deep frustration, anger, words like brinkmanship are being used. And even when Tom Collin signed some form of a deal yesterday at 6 o'clock, it was too late. Let's see how, in what way it was too late. We've got Peter Gray from Quintus standing by. First up, Jim McCarthy of the Quintus Group. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Thanks for taking the call and commiserations on certainly a fight well fought, but in the end, you were bested by times and circumstances, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just came down to time in the end, really, as I said there, I think, last week. You know, we've been attempting to take over this club now from Tom for many weeks, and we needed to get it early enough so that it would allow us to properly plan the license application. And, you know, just having it done there at 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday evening was just far too late, you know. I mean,
even at that, pardon me, Jim, even at that 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday, there still wasn't enough done. Were you still short of paperwork and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, see, the key things with that license application, I mean, I know where they were, the committee would have been coming from, is they couldn't leave themselves open to be challenged by another club through the courts again on granting a license if there was key parts of that license not complete, and not having the audited accounts within the correct criteria and not having a tax clearance cert. They're just two fundamentally big things not to have right in any license application. So I think they would have been leaving themselves wide open. Now, we did put in undertakings to pay the revenue once the license was granted, and we gave a legal undertaking that we would. We tried to explain some adjustments that we would have made to the audited accounts had we been granted the license, and we would have corrected those. But, you know, had we got that information maybe a week or two ago, it would have given us the time to adjust them ourselves in advance of the meeting.
So the tax clearance cert wasn't there. And how does that connect then with Judge Lafoy yesterday putting a stay on the winding up of the club?
Well, to say, I mean, we could have well done without all of that drama in the High Court yesterday as well. I mean, here, you know, this was the last day before the License Committee, and to have all of that unwinding up in the court, and, you know, it certainly didn't help her case. I know she put a stay in it, but actually putting the club into liquidation, you know, definitely sent out the wrong message to any committee. If you're an independent committee sitting down and you've just heard that the club you're just about to pass a license application on has just been put into liquidation, regardless of the fact that there's a stay put on it until tomorrow, it's technically in provisional liquidation. That did not help our cause at all yesterday.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have got a tax clearance cert even if you'd paid the revenue yesterday, because that in itself takes time, doesn't it?
We would have got it yesterday, but to see the big risk for us yesterday was, you know, I mean, us as if, you know, from a Quintus perspective, and Maguire Desmond the same, we couldn't advise our clients to pay that tax bill yesterday and then maybe not receive their license that night. It would have been too high risk. And I know there was a bit of negativity going around last night about, you know, the fact that we were putting the gun to the licensing committee head for a Premier license. But people have got to understand that Michael and Peter and Forrest were putting, you know, hard cash there, 600,000 on the table, to buy a club that had to be in the Premier Division. I mean, they were taking on all the skeletons that would have been in that company. There was no way they would have got, they could be, you know, put that money on the table had they only received a First Division license. It wouldn't have made any sense.
But in hindsight now, if you had paid the revenue yesterday, are you in a position to know now that you would have got a license?
No, absolutely not, because they could have still shot it down on the audited accounts. You know, in fact, you know, we spoke to the FA about this in advance of the meeting yesterday, and we did have the call with them, and their advice was absolutely no way to pay the revenue in advance of the meeting, because they felt there was other fundamental problems with the application as well. So right. it would have been too big a gamble.
Right. It seems as if Forrest very clearly, and I'm saying it again this morning in the shape of Jonathan O'Brien, are very frustrated with what they say was intentionally orchestrated procedures by Tom Collin to frustrate it right down to the end, and somebody said by text that if he couldn't have it, nobody else could. Do you have any comment to make on that?
You know, I have to agree with Jonathan. I mean, you know, it has been brinkmanship. I mean, look, I know Tom didn't want this to be the end result either. But it was just an awful shame that we couldn't have got, you know, the deal put to bed a week or two ago. And it would have just allowed us to get through this licensing meeting last night, you know. You know, it's just not a good day for anybody. Yeah, I'm sure he feels as bad about it as anybody, but at this stage it's just too late now.
And yesterday when this deal was being signed, somebody said that he was looking for 140 grand to walk away. Was that offered, or was it paid, or was that part of a deal yesterday?
There was a deal done yesterday. I mean, they were the correct figures. Jonathan is correct in those figures, and there was figures looked for. But we wanted to flush that out last week. Tell us what it is. You know, let's get to the bottom of this deal quick, because if we leave it too late, we won't have the time for the license. So, but there was a deal done in every deal, and to be fair to Peter, Michael and Forrest, you know, there was a settlement done on that in the end, you know, but that wasn't the that all happened over the last hour. So you couldn't have said that that's what held it up. I mean, the first we saw of any figure was 3 or 4 o'clock, and this was all being communicated down to us from the High Court, because you must remember Tom and his advisors were in Dublin yesterday.
But why would you pay over anything for something that was insolvent and actually worth nothing? In actual fact, not only is it worth nothing, it owes things.
I think at that stage it was just a decision made by the group that the amount that we were going to pay, which was a reasonably small figure in the end, well, it was, you know, it kept us within our limits in terms of the amount of money that we had to put on the table. So we were still able to deliver the deal in and around the 600,000 euro figure, which is what we were mandated from day one to do.
Okay.
And it was just a case at that stage we just had to get it over the line.
Okay. Peter Gray of Quintus is here as well. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Looking at this going forward now, are you guys now just taking yourself out of the picture, or are you willing to do business with Forrest, or look at a club, or look at an investment, albeit not in the Premiership, I wonder?
In relation to Forrest, yeah, we've already said that we're there to help them through if they need us. That's the great thing about it. There's still a bit of football, League One for Cork to go, and people to go and support. And I hope that everybody does go there on their first game, and it's a full house, 7,500 people watching that game. I'll certainly be one of them.
And where will all of this happen, forgive me, will this happen out in Turner's Cross, or what will the story be?
Well, I would say so, yes. I mean, it's the only sort of ground that can hold that capacity in Cork, and so, again, I'd say the lads of Forest have well and truly got that under control.
But if 7,500 people wouldn't go and see Cork City in the Premiership, why would they, even half of them, want to go see them in a lower division with clearly not the same kind of attractive players to watch either?
Because Forrest has got it.
So it would be a passion then, is it? It would be kind of like a camaraderie thing, or a loyalty in Cork, or rallying around the troops as such?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. It's a new ownership, it's a new entity. And let's face it, what was going on there beforehand, a lot of supporters just didn't like, did they?
True enough. And do either of you, Peter or Jim, do either of you know what happens now with regards to all of the people that are owed money by Cork City Football Club Limited? Do they have to form an orderly queue or what?
I don't. you know, I don't think the outlook is too positive, Neil, to be honest. You know, as of 2 o'clock today, the company now goes into liquidation. You know, there are few, if any, assets in that club. I mean, any of the assets that were there, the likes of the sell-on clauses at this stage, have more or less all been cashed in. So, unfortunately, I don't think the outlook is positive at all.
Okay, but and do you think that you would have a financial input with regards to Forest and their future and the purchase of players and the and paying wages, albeit in a lower division, Jim?
I think, you know, the ball is very much in Forest's court now. I know they're having their own board meeting tonight. This isn't the result that they wanted. They wanted the Premier Division club to survive as much as anybody. You know, it was wise to have this alternative in play. So now that it's there, they have to make their own decisions tonight. But, I mean, I think the main thing is that Peter Michael and Forest, through their involvement with both Quintus and Maguire Desmond, have formed a good bond over the last couple of weeks. So I suppose my own hope is that maybe something will still come out of it and we can still keep this consortium together in some shape.
All right, Peter, just finally, can I just ask you, it's a bit the cart before the horse, really. What motivated you to want to do this in the first place?
It's passion for football. I've always had it. Anybody who has that passion for football understands what I'm going on about. It's a unique club, or was a unique club, called City. 150 odd miles from the nearest competitor. A good ground, a good team. It was. You couldn't get anything like it anywhere else, I would say, in the world. So, as a business proposition and a passion and a love for the game, it was, I'd say, an easy way of running the club with Boris, Michael, with his marketing experience, the members having a stake in the club, myself with the business. I could have bought to it as well. So, realistically, it could have turned out to be a fantastic club, and that's what we were hoping to do. It showed last night, literally for about an hour or so, after Tom had kicked the staff out of where they were, and then, needless to say, the players as well that were living there.
Where was this, incidentally? Is this somewhere down the harbour?
Yeah, in Clove.
Okay.
Anyway, a couple of the lads turned up to the solicitors, and we were using the solicitors like our office. It was fantastic. But it just showed as well that with Forest, the lads, that the staff members, myself, Michael, Jim, Kieran, the solicitor there, excellent solicitor, one a corporate lawyer. Go to them, trust me.
But you still have an opportunity to do all of that. You just have to wait a season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not going to go anywhere at all. I'm going to, like I say, if they need my help, if they want my help, they want me to get involved, they want Michael to get involved, we're there.
Good.
And we ain't going anywhere at all.
Good. Okay.
And so, you know.
Okay, I have Tom Callan here on line 5, and I'm going to talk to him in a few minutes' time, gentlemen, but I'm obliged to both of you for taking my call for now. Peter Gray with Quintus and Jim McCarthy with Quintus, who have said they ain't going nowhere, and they're there to help if needs be going forward, and that is a chink of light. Tom Callan is happy to talk to me, but to me alone, I believe. So I've got him here, and he's under a bit of pressure, and certainly today, a very pressurised day. Tom, good morning.
Hey, Neil, how are you doing?
I'm very good. More to the point, how are you?
Not too bad. I mean, I'm surprised at what happened. I'm listening there to Peter Gray. I mean, it's some cheek coming on the radio like that. I really do. Like, I mean, I've kept my council quiet for the last week and a half while these guys have tried to bully me and the people involved, my family, and people who have genuinely put over €1 million into this football club. Real money, real time. Money talks and bullshit walks, Neil. Right? You've got a business downtown there. And if you tell people that you'll pay for the steak tomorrow, that won't do. You can't serve steak tonight if you don't pay for it tonight. I mean, this guy doesn't have a house in Cork. That was just on the phone. He doesn't pay tax in Cork. He doesn't have a car registered in Cork. You know? I'm here for the saving of the city. Come on. Come on, no, Neil.
You said you know? Are you saying you're here for this?
Oh,
he's saying that he's...
You give these people time in the air. And that, Jim McCarthy. I mean, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow.
I mean,
and
you're...
All my PR people will tell me to do this and not say this. And don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't come on the radio and do this, and I have all my people telling me what to do, and send out the right press statement and do this. Listen, Sinn Féin, Jonathan O'Brien, these guys, let come off it. What are they? Show me one statue in this town to a critic, to people that stand up and do nothing for anybody. this football club was there for the people of Cork. I sacrificed my personal reputation, my absolute everything on this thing. I'm not going to get upset with you now, but I am this, like, okay, this court case is on at 2 o'clock. I know nothing about the details of what they did with the court yesterday, but I'm not surprised that Justice Boy saw through these people within an hour of me leaving the court. She saw through them. Within an hour, she saw through these people. You know?
What do you mean she saw through them? I mean, you're clearly upset.
What she said in the court was, put your money where your mouth is, right? We're back in court at 2 o'clock today, and I'm going to decide what we're going to do with this football club. I've got good people. I might not have a lot of people, but the people who are with me support me and believe in what we're trying to do. And it's not about money. I'm making money. Okay, I invested in something because I thought the city would deserve it. And my friends and my family and the people I love deserve more than this. Right? Yeah. Your cheap shots on the radio. Your cheap shots and your quick lines to learn something from it. We had nothing tonight. Typical of Sinn Féin and the people they represent. We're left without a football club. And we're left without nothing. So you can get another ad in at 10 o'clock. Right? It's not worth it, Neil. We're bigger than that. And the people we represent are bigger than that.
I don't quite follow you.
We're bigger than that. And we're going to do what we can by 2 o'clock today. Okay?
Yeah.
And, like, listening to those people who don't pay tax in this town. They don't even have the car tax on the car. I met him with an English rich car. There's nothing wrong with that. But they come into town and they're away here for the city. And it's a beautiful place, 150 miles from anywhere else. Bollocks.
But wait a second. Wait a second now. Yeah. You know, with regard to the tax issue, you owe tax, 160 grand's worth to the revenue. Yeah. You owe VAT and everything. So you need to be careful before you say things like that. You owe PRSI. Yeah. You know, all of that has to be paid. That's why you're in the mess that you're in for not paying bills, isn't it?
Neil, that was paid. When I signed the documents in court yesterday, they had everything done. They represented themselves. Everything was done. The first time money was looked for was about 2:30 yesterday. And all of a sudden, they couldn't pay this guy, they couldn't do this. Will you wait a couple of weeks? Will you do this? Sure, look, I could be doing that every day. I could do that every day in business. There's no money out there. There's a credit crisis. And because of that, we're losing a football club? That's not fair.
Oh, well, I mean, I would agree with you in that regard. People are being put out of work here, and I would have...
600,000 people nearly out of work in this country. Yeah, and this Jonathan O'Brien comes on then. They're outrageous. No. Their behaviour has been immoral from first day.
He says that you were deliberately frustrated the process.
I gave them the company for nothing yesterday. I got nothing from the company. You know, so I go down to the boardwalk tomorrow, and I tell you, get out of the boardwalk. I want to keep everything.
All right. Well, let's leave that. Let's leave that down there. Let's leave the boardwalk where that is, and let's just deal with the facts before us.
That's what it is. Get out of the place, and I'm taking over. That's what I have to deal with for 10 days. I have to listen to PR spin.
It's insolvent. I know. Hang on a second. It's insolvent. You agreed to walk away, didn't you? You said you would do all of those things.
It wasn't insolvent. They committed money to the business.
Yes, no, but your model. Your model was insolvent.
The truth comes out. At the end of the day, I'm trying to get to it.
But I understand that you're emotive. I can appreciate that. I understand.
Because I put it into it. I walked where other people talked. I did the business. And my friend supported me. And I did it.
But how can you say that?
Yesterday in good faith. I walked away yesterday because they had a deal done with the FBI and John Delaney rang this and they did this and get Cochran out. And I said, okay. I was hurt, but I walked away. I did the best I could and I walked away.
Did you look for 140 grand to walk away?
Yeah, I did not look for 140 grand to walk away.
Well, why are they saying you did then?
Because I have property that there was no rent paid by the company and I look for the rent to be paid on that company. I mean, like, Jonathan O'Brien came on, like, that's the reality of business, you know what I mean? And that's not about that the rent wasn't paid by the company and I look for the company to pay the rent and they, I mean, I have threatening texts, I can show you all that stuff, but I mean, I'm not going to get into that. It's now 10:30 or 11:15 and the High Court is on at 2 o'clock and I'm going to do my damnedest to find out exactly what happened and try and get this sorted by 2 o'clock. So, Neil, look, the very best
well,
of things and then thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry for being so emotive.
Well, I didn't get much out of you. I didn't get a whole lot to say myself, right. but with regards to
no,
your...
You can continue to make your snide comments about business and trying to, like,
me?
You bring on business people there who are trying to make a difference.
Wait a second,
there's people around this town trying their best.
What are you talking about, snide comments? I resent that.
It's grand for people sitting at home. Like, what's happening?
What snide comments are you talking about?
Look, I'm not going to get into it, Neil, okay? I'm not going to waste you. I'm sorry, I had to go on because my own lady rang me, frustrated with what they're hearing. And my boy's at school, and he's listening to this kind of stuff. People say, oh, don't mention your child and don't mention the home. That's the reality of what I've had to suffer.
I don't know who you're getting advice from, Tom. I'm trying to be as fair as and balanced as I can be. And I have to say to you, it's very difficult to be fair and balanced to somebody who won't talk to you.
Yeah.
So if you've had recommendations or advice from people in the past to stay off the air and issue press statements, perhaps they weren't. That wasn't the most accurate advice you could have had.
Okay. All right. Cheerio.
All right. See you well, goodbye for now. Cheers. Thanks. Very emotive Tom Collin there, chairman of Cork City Football Club, heading to Dublin to the High Court. I need to be careful now because I resent anything with regards to being told I'm making snide comments. The whole bloody thing is a complete disaster, if you ask me. But Jonathan O'Brien does want to respond. Jonathan, good morning.
Thanks, Neil.
He just wanted to talk one-on-one, but I think it turned into more of a rant, really, so that's just the way it is. I'll allow people to make up their own mind, but you wanted to respond.
I just wanted to respond. I mean, this is typical of Tom. He comes on the radio. He refuses to engage in discussion, as he has done for the last 10 days. Then he comes on, and not only does he criticise me personally, but he tries to make it political out of it by criticising Sinn Féin and the people they represent. Look, it's quite clear, Tom Collin is a lunatic who has just lost his marbles and he's trying to blame everyone else for this.
No, that's unfair. That's unfair.
It's
No, you'd have to withdraw that, actually, Jonathan, I'm afraid. You'll have to, because otherwise I think you could find yourself in all sorts of problems if you go around calling people lunatics who've lost their marbles. So I think you should apologise for that and say that if nothing else, he's emotive at this time, I would imagine. That would be the way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah? You withdraw it?
I will withdraw it, but I mean, I think his behaviour on the radio this morning gives the people of Cork some indication of what we have been going through for the last 10 days in trying to save this club.
What's he going to the High Court for?
Because he's going to be wound up at 2 o'clock.
But he's still talking about trying to save the club. Did I mishear him?
It's impossible. He doesn't have a licence, Neil. He doesn't have a licence. He doesn't have a licence because he wouldn't sit down with us for the last 10 days.
Right. So he needs to face up to it. It's over and it's the end of the road, if you like, in top flight football for this one. Okay.
For now, anyway.
All right. Thanks for now. Cheers, yeah. Jonathan. Thank you. Much obliged. As you can see, a lot of emotive people involved in this. None more so than Tom Collin this morning.